Friends, I just want to read a couple of verses and just speak for a moment or two on one wee phrase in the book of Psalms. You don't need to open your Bible, you can if you want, but I just want to read from Psalm 147, just really to bring the meeting to a conclusion. Psalm 147, it says in verse number 1, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek, he casteth the wicked down to the ground." Amen. I just want to speak for a few moments upon the little phrase at the beginning of verse 3 concerning our Lord. He healeth the broken in heart. The healer of broken hearts. You'll notice that this little phrase in the book of Psalms introduces us to a problem: the broken heart. Friends, we live in a world that is broken. A world that, as far as mankind is concerned, is broken beyond repair. A world that is filled with broken people, broken homes, broken hopes, and broken hearts. And maybe tonight your home is either broken or on the brink of breaking. It may be that your life up until this moment in time is just a trail of broken hopes. Solomon said in the book of Proverbs that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And we think of young people, especially young people in this day and generation, and we think of young people in the Bible as well. For example, the prodigal son. That well-known story in Luke chapter 15, a certain man had two sons. And the youngest one came to him one day and said, "Father, give me the portion that falleth to me. Give me mine inheritance." And the Bible says he took his journey, and he took that substance, and he went away, and in a far-off land, in a far-off country, he wasted his substance with riotous living. And then there arose a famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And sitting one day in a pig pen, realizing what his life had become, he realized that it's just one broken hope after another. "I had hoped that the world would give me everything that I needed and everything that I wanted, and now it all today lies in ruins." A broken home. A broken hope. And then this problem of the broken heart. I'm not sure tonight the circumstances of all of you in the meeting, but it may be, and it probably is the case, there's at least one person tonight in this meeting, and your heart is broken. And maybe tonight you say, "Well, why is it that this problem is so prevalent? Why is it that our world is broken? Why is it that people are broken? Why is it that homes and hearts and hopes are broken?" Well, friends, it's because we've all broken God's law. Every single one of us have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. And the problem is that we often put God out of our lives completely. And whenever we try to include God, very often we have a wrong view of who God is, and we've even wrong motives for wanting God in our lives. And we've all sinned and have come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And whenever he had done all of these things, at the end of the sixth day and coming into the seventh day, God looked upon it all and God saw that it was good. But something happened. And Adam and Eve, they sinned against God and they broke God's law. They broke God's commandment. and they rendered us all incapable of doing anything that would bring us back to God, and we sin because we're sinners. A problem. The broken heart. I ask you tonight again, is your heart broken? But you'll notice in this little phrase as well, there's also a promise. It says, He healeth the broken in heart. There's God's promise. For any sinner that will come by faith to the cross and confess their sin and confess their rebellion against God and just call upon the Lord and ask Him for mercy and ask Him for grace and ask Him for forgiveness and ask Him for salvation, the Lord promises that He will heal the broken in heart. Now, healing implies sickness. And the Bible describes sin as being like a sickness, like an illness. And in the book of Isaiah, the book that Crystal read for us tonight, in the very first chapter, in verse number 5, it says, the whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. And from the sole of the foot to the crown of the head, there's no soundness in it, nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been covered up, neither mollified with ointment. And that just gives us a picture of this world, a picture of humanity, a picture of the individual without Christ. Pain and sickness and suffering and decay and depravity and just getting worse and worse, and there's no betterment. But the Bible says that the Lord can heal the broken in heart. There's not a physician in the world that can do it. There's not a doctor in the world that can heal the broken heart. Now, men might be able to help you physically. They might be able, under God, to administer to your physical needs, to heal broken bones and broken bodies and physical sickness and physical illness. And maybe help the mind as well, just to get the mind right on track. But friends, tonight, there's only one that is able to heal the broken of heart. And that's God Himself. He healeth the broken in heart. The broken in heart, that's the problem. He healeth the broken in heart, that's the promise. But this little phrase introduces us to a person. It says, He healeth the broken in heart. Who's it speaking about? It's speaking about the Lord. It's speaking about God. And of course, it's speaking about the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 1, verses that the Lord Himself read one day as He stood in the synagogue in Luke's Gospel, and chapter number 4, it says He came to preach the gospel, and He also came to bind up the brokenhearted. You say, well, how can He do that? And how did He do that? Because of His own brokenness upon the cross. Just before the Lord went to that cross, He met in a small upper room with 12 other men, His disciples. And as they sat around that table and the Lord was fellowshipping with them, the Bible says that He prayed with them. The Scripture says that He sang a psalm with them, and they praised and they worshiped God together. And then He took a loaf of bread, and the Bible says that He stood up before them and He broke that bread and He began to feed the disciples. And He said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. And then He took a cup and He says, this is My blood which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And they maybe didn't really understand everything that He was saying, but they knew within a few short hours as He stood upon Golgotha's hill and lay down upon that cross, and that cross was lifted up between God's heaven and God's earth. And friends, on that cross, He was broken for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And folks, this is the love of God. The very Son of God, the crown jewel of heaven, fairest of all the earth beside, on a cross, broken because of our sin, that he might redeem us and reconcile us to God. I wonder tonight, is your heart broken because of sin? Broken over your sin? Broken because of a life without God? You say, well, how can I have this peace in my heart that young lady spoke about this evening? How can I have what Crystal has? And how can I have what so many other people in this meeting tonight seem to have? Well, friends, it's very simple. It's beautifully simple. And it's simply beautiful. Jesus Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, cast all your care upon me because he careth for you. He promises to forgive and to cleanse and heal. You say, well, how do I come? Two words that we often use, the word turn and the word trust. Turn from self and turn from sin and turn from going your own way. The Bible calls that repentance. It means to do a U-turn. It means to turn right around, to have a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of will about yourself, about your sin, and about the Savior. And confess that need and confess that sin. And then trust. Trust means just to cast yourself completely upon Jesus Christ and his finished work. And he promises that he can heal that broken heart and take away that sin and bring forgiveness. We trust and pray tonight that you will close in with God's offer of mercy. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's worth knowing. And he can lead and guide and provide for all of your needs. Will you come and trust him, friend, this evening?